Over the years, we've drawn profiles of distinguished, perhaps more correctly, successful lawyers. Hired guns like Melvin Belli, Racehorse Haynes, and Jerry Spence. Tonight, we have another who could not be more different from those other attorneys. He is Tony Serra of San Francisco. What sets Serra apart is he is broke, a status he's worked hard to achieve. Serra's clientele tend to be the poor and the wretched, people he would call oppressed, people charged with drug dealing and murder. American Lawyer magazine has called him one of the best criminal defense lawyers in the country.
I'm sorry that the defense never rests, but I happen in this case, I happen to represent an innocent man. Not a technically not guilty man, but an innocent man.
Tony Serra, the once and present and future flower child, in the process of defending a man charged with drunk driving and possession of cocaine with intent to sell.
If there was any evidence whatsoever that my client was a drug dealer, associated with drug dealers, had ever sold drugs, had ever possessed cocaine for sale, you sure would have had it. And it has not been suppressed. Nothing has been suppressed.
In court, he is relentless in defense. There is nothing laid back about him.
Other lawyers who don't feel the gusto, they don't have the grace of the calling, the feeling, therefore they can't emote. They don't feel strongly about anything. They're eclectic. They're parasitical. Those lawyers think you're acting because they have not felt anything for 20 years. They don't feel romance with their woman. They don't feel love for their kids. They're dead because society, you know, has dug into them and pulled it all out of them if it was ever there. They went to law school because they wanted to make a lot of money. They wanted a soft job. They wanted, allies with the wealthy and the powerful. So, of course, they think, you know, you're acting because you feel something.
Unlike many of the flower children of two decades ago, who went on to firmly embrace middle-class values, Tony Serra's kept his values intact. The look is pure 60s. The hippie as middle-aged attorney. Dressed in cast-off clothing, an office that is a glorious litter bin. A room full of artifacts, a head and heart rooted in a decade.
Are you nostalgic about it now?
Sure.
Sure? Shit, look at my hair. I mean, you know. I thought, you know, it was so unexpected and so overwhelming, and it was so profound. I wasn't prepared for it. And then it went so fast that I look back, you know, teary-eyed. It was a good, strong thing. It was like a purification ritual for all of us. And indeed, I'm nostalgic about it.
I would think that Tony Serra coming in, looking the way Tony Serra looks, where might be a look and a manner, at least initially, that the jury might find somehow threatening.
No, you know, that's naive. That's naive.
Let me finish. But apparently, once you get the mouth working on them, you get them in the palm of your hand.
Looks don't make it. It ain't what the hell you look like. They don't care. They don't see you after a while.
On occasion, he looked really almost absurd. A suit that didn't fit, all the buttons were buttoned, the sleeves were halfway up to his elbow, the seam was split in his pants.
Thomas Hastings, Superior Court Judge in San Jose.
Tony relies upon his ability to use the language, his ability to advocate, his persuasive qualities. And he doesn't try cases by filing motions. He doesn't try cases by filing a lot of paper. He tries cases using his own abilities as an advocate to persuade jurors, and he does a great job.
We strive for truth, but there will be no absolute truth. But there is reasonable doubt standard. So don't search here for absolutes. You just measure this case by whether or not there is reasonable doubt. If, for instance, at the end of the case you say, I think he probably did it. Probably. Probably is guilty. What then would be your duty under the law? Your duty then under the law is to return a verdict of not guilty, because the criterion is not probability. The criterion is beyond a reasonable doubt into a moral certainty. If you think he possibly did it, he could have done it, he probably did it, he's not guilty. Do you understand that it's the highest standard ever conceived on the face of the earth? It's the thing when we speak most boastful about our system that we commend to historians. It's a good and strong rule, and it separates us from overreaching government. It separates us from, you know, forces that would control our destiny. It gives us ultimately the choice.
In more than half the cases he takes, Sarah chooses to work for nothing. The legal community in San Francisco, which holds his courtroom talent in high regard, says if he wanted to, he could be a millionaire. In fact, he earns about $20,000 a year, but owns almost nothing. No credit cards, buys nothing new. He drives a car that is almost comatose, but his own private Spirit of 66 remains undented. He is a tax protester and 10 years ago went to jail for 4 months for refusing to file a return. His main work, he says, is with the underclass, charged with murder or drug offenses.
You defend drug dealers, and they're hardly a deprived class in our society.
Drug dealers may well have material prosperity at one level of their life, but at another level of their life, they are victimized. They're victimized by an entire, you know, state of government that seeks them out as targets. I feel self-righteous. I feel indignant about that. I can, you know, wax philosophic. The battle cry just comes naturally out of my throat on those kind of cases. So I don't feel anything for the authoritative figure who betrays, you know, the values that he pretends to promote. I feel nothing for him.
So you've defended Huey Newton,
yeah,
Black
sure
Panthers,
have.
Russell Little of the
SLA, yes,
the
sir.
SLA, the Hell's Angels.
The Hell's Angels. Last vestige, you know, of whatever, a free, untainted, poetic symbol in our culture. Beautiful people, you know, free on a motorcycle.
Look, you saying that, I'm sure probably 2 million people have just turned their television sets off because to hear someone...
They know it. The common man,
describe the Hell's Angels as what, poetry on wheels.
Listen, they love the Cowboys, and they love the Hell's Angels.
What about when they...
So they give, once in a while they get in a fight, or every once in a while maybe, you know, a shooting will occur. But statistically, they're far in the minority.
Every once in a while, they'll pull someone into their clubhouse and rape her.
That's not Hell's Angels qua Hell's Angels. That's a human being in the excess of his behavior. We're talking about Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels is a motorcycle club that stands for, you know, a spirited, aggressive form of rugged individualism. That's the kind of tenet that our country has always accepted and really romanticized. There's nothing wrong with Hell's Angels.
For all his radical philosophy, Sarah comes to the law with the very best traditional credentials. He's 48 now and bears little resemblance to the excellent student and top athlete at Stanford, where he played for both the football and the baseball teams. A philosophy major at Stanford, he went on to Berkeley Law School, where he was law review, then took a job as a district attorney.
I had something like 35 jury trials in 11 months at the DA's office. I was like 10 years ahead of any of my peers. And I worked hard, and unfortunately people went to jail, and I convicted people. And I find that that's a flaw in me. And if I had to do it over again with the view that I have now, I wouldn't do it. I did wrong. But I did it in a pragmatic way. I wanted to learn to be a trial lawyer.
Sarah spends long days during the week on legal work in San Francisco. On weekends, he heads for Bolinas, one of the last enclaves of the hippie generation, where he devotes his time to his family, artist Mary Edna Dineen and their 5 children, all of whom he delivered himself. He practices in his private life anyway the preachings of the 60s. The lives the children lead would, to some, seem unconventional.
I doubt that.
Unconventional.
Not at all.
They have unconventional names. They live in a...
Well, we live in a different convention than you do. You're from the East. It's California.
but
we name our kids what you name your animals.
Well, your kids are named...
I have Shelter and Ivory and Chime. Those are three boys. And Wonder and Lilac. And those are two girls.
Well, I think most people, maybe even a lot of Californians, would regard that as unconventional names.
If they don't like it, listen, Shelter is already Shelter Robert Sarah. They can do whatever they want. I like it. There's enough Johns, you know, and Toms in the world now. And, you know, there's deeper meaning in all that. I'm Tony. I connect with every Tony that's ever been. There is Tony-ness. There's John-ness. You know, there's Mark-ness. Police are human beings. They are strong. They are intelligent. They are honorable. They have integrity. They are consistent, and they are idealistic. They have foibles. They are emotional. They are inconsistent. They are brutal. They are false. They are deceptive. They are perjurious. They are human beings. I know, Mrs. Gresh, that your son is in the FBI. They're not all like your son. I know, Miss Leung, that your brother's a police officer in Richmond. They're not all like your brother. I'm presuming that each of you have the noble and the honorable police officer, and 90% is.
That courtroom represents perhaps the sharpest cutting edge of the establishment that you do not have a lot of respect for.
No, that's not true. I don't have disdain for the judicial system. I have disdain for the government agencies who use the judicial system to actually subjugate classes of persons. That's a misuse. That's the profanity of the system. That's what I fight. The RENA is clear and wholesome. It's a beautiful concept. It goes back to Athenian democracy.
There's also a certain brutality takes place in a courtroom among lawyers, among good lawyers particularly, and that is in cross-examination, when you might take a very ordinary person who believes in the evidence he's given, and it's often the job of the good lawyer to destroy that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you do that.
No, this is why I won't take these sexual cases anymore. I do have that skill, and I do go for the juggler, and I'm harsh. I've cross-examined little girls who have been molested to the point, you know, where I am sure that the courtroom event will terrorize them far beyond whatever occurred to them on the street. As a consequence, I have withdrawn. I don't have to use my tool and skill, you know, to hurt people. That's why I don't take certain kind of cases. I don't do rape. I don't do cases that involve, how shall I say, establishment figures who perpetrate crime on society. That would be politicians, police officers, public officials.
How do you feel when you lose?
Yeah, you got a good one there. Here's what you feel. I feel that I'm so much worse in every respect than the man who's going to go to jail for a long time. You feel like it's so unfair, like it's, I should be going, man. I should, this guy's innocent. This poor fool for 1 hour went awry with a gun or knife, or this silly merchant of drugs that sold to an undercover officer. This foolish, naive person is going to go 3, 4, 10, 20 years. And I'm going to walk out tonight, man, and I'm going to go eat, you know, big dinner, and he's going to jail. It's so unfair, so goddamn unfair. You really, it's the worst feeling. You know, it's like death is a better feeling. Let's say in the old days, you've just died. Here, you don't die. You like it all, you know, you die in a certain sense. It all pours out of you. Shit, I cry, you know. It's terrible. It's really terrible because I have the feeling it's so unfair to him. We all rejoice when not guilty has proclaimed. It's the acclamation which is the peak, you know,
a whole system of law and order. It's the most fabulous, beautiful thing that occurs. This is the case that's ripe for it. Really, really. So I trust you will do what's right here under the law, and that you will acquit my client, because he's innocent. He is innocent. Thank you very much.
Later, Tony Serra heard once again those two beautiful words, not guilty.